Coming up, Mike and I are back with another episode of Breakfast with the Beats. It's a jam-packed episode where Mike and I go over our personalized Mount Rushmores of our favorite players of all time. Then we go in-depth, team by team, and try to figure out who will be buyers and sellers at the upcoming trade deadline, making sense of the chaos that will undoubtedly unfold over the next few weeks. Finally, in our mental health moment, we go back to Mount Rushmore and come up with the greatest baseball movies ever made. It's an extra long episode this week, and it does run a bit long, but it's also a good one. Just a reminder that Breakfast with the Beats is a pitcherless podcast and part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network. But first, a quick word.
Good morning, fantasy baseball friends and family. It's your old pal Mike Carter here, back for episode 15. Are we 15 this week?
We are at 15.
Wow. Episode 15 of Breakfast with the Beats. And in the background, you can hear my good friend and compatriot here, Dave Funnel. Dave, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good. I am on the set of Blade Runner 2049 here with the orange skies and all of our fog. It's great. Just waiting for the movie to wrap up and clear up these skies. But other than that, we're doing okay.
That's a great movie. It's one that we could probably do a whole podcast on. It's a phenomenal movie. I love the Blade Runner movies.
They're good. I just didn't want to be a part of them. This whole week has been foggy, muggy skies, but it is what it is. So,
well, Dave, I wanted to say thanks personally for sending all your smoke from Ontario down here into the jet stream. So yesterday, Chicago had the worst air quality in the United States, which is usually an honor reserved for Los Angeles, I believe. But here we are, and living in this post-apocalyptic 2026 world of smoke, the world is on fire, literally and figuratively in some places. And we're just going to record our little show here, our little corner of the woods, our little nook in all of the insanity that goes on around us, right? So let's talk a little bit about some fantasy baseball stuff. How was your All-Star break?
All-Star break was good. It's nice to actually not have to look at rosters and check your teams and see how they're doing. I usually take the break off from it and just I try not to think about my teams and then hope for the best when they come back. So
I made it till Tuesday morning without checking anything. And then I had this anxiety attack about oh my God, I need to set my rosters, and was sitting there for probably 30 seconds before I realized that there was no need to do those things. I did do a little bit of introspective thinking about my teams, though, about where they actually are and what might actually need to happen for them to be competitive. And I think about half of my teams are in the hunt, but the other half are kind of dead. I'm not going to abandon those teams because we never abandon our teams. Even when football is coming, even though we know that there will be players who will abandon their teams here in the next month for the good old football. But as Eric Cross pointed out yesterday on Twitter, fantasy baseball is way better than fantasy football.
100%.
So I'm going to live on that hill. And anybody who wants to join us, you are welcome to.
You know what you need to do is identify those owners who are probably going to leave for fantasy football and get to their rosters now.
Yeah. Well, I'm playing a guy this week in our head-to-head league, my home league, where he hasn't made a roster adjustment in weeks, and I'm only beating him by 40 points. And I'm like, if I lose to this guy, I might have to just do Tom Hanks in Castaway and just throw the oars into the water and just float and wait and see what happens. You know, I don't know. I'd be pretty devastated if I lost to a guy who's not even playing. But that does happen sometimes, right? So
yeah, it does. Yeah.
Anyway, well, Dave, I wanted to ask you a question. You know, every week when we get together, we start off with a question. And this one was one that made me really think quite a bit about players that I've loved in my past. And the question that we had was, in light of the All-Star game this past week, who makes the cut on top of your Mount Rushmore for all-time favorite player? So it has to be four guys, right, for Mount Rushmore in the States here. What four guys are on your Mount Rushmore?
So an absolute must for me is Ken Griffey Jr. Just the swing, being the kid. I loved him. I was a Mariners fan growing up, and he epitomized for me just what baseball is all about, the love of the game. A second player for me is Ichiro. He's arguably the greatest hitter I've ever seen play. And his one season where he had, was it 262 hits in a season, was just, it was unbelievable. A third for me is Jackie Robinson. Now, I know this is before my time, but to me, it's a very important person to have here just for what he did. And I admire the bravery that it took and his talent level while he was out there. So those are my three at the top. And the fourth usually fluctuates for me. It depends on what mood I'm in or what I'm thinking about. It's just different players that I've really liked over the years. Right now, if you had to ask, it would either be Bo Jackson or Mookie Betts for me.
You said something that I wanted to ask you about earlier on in your comment, which was that you grew up a Seattle Mariners fan. Why was that?
I did. Because of Griffey.
I got you.
I, back in the 90s, one of the highlights for me was when they beat the Yankees, that one series, and Griffey came home and slid home. Outstanding for me. It was one of my core memories of Mariners. And I was a Mariners fan, actually, up until they traded away Ichiro. And then from then, I haven't, honestly, I haven't been a fan of any team since. It's more or less, I just watch baseball.
I wonder if that makes you a better fan because of the fact that you're not fiercely loyal to any one team, you know? Like, I think being a White Sox fan really colors my perspective on a lot of things, even though I try not to let it do that. But I wonder if you're a better fan and a better follower of the game because of the fact that you don't have anybody that you're beholden to.
I think it's a double-edged sword because I actually look online when I see, you know, comments about people with teams. If I know that they're a fan of the team, I kind of keep that in mind. But I also understand, too, that they may know more about their team than other people will. So it's kind of you've got to, when doing that, you've got to kind of have a balance of, yeah, you know, sure, they're a Red Sox fan, but they also know more about that team than probably anyone else. They might actually have, they might know something that I don't here. So I think it's, you've got to find a balance, and you can kind of tell with some comments sometimes, whether it's a homer comment or whether it's, you know, for lack of a better term, educated or on point, objective. That's the word.
Yeah.
Objective comment.
You're much nicer about it than I am because I call those folks meatballs. The ones that make ridiculous comments. Mm-hmm. So for example, you know, I'm a White Sox fan. Everyone knows this who listens to the show. Mm-hmm. And last week there was a guy that was bemoaning Colson Montgomery's slump before the All-Star break, in which he had struck out like 12 times in like four games or something like that. He was pretty cold. And this guy suggested that he wasn't any good and that they should send him down and to the minor leagues. And so then I asked what I thought were logical questions, which were, okay, let's go with your scenario and say that they send him down. Who's going to play shortstop? He didn't have a real good answer for that. And then I asked him, I said, are you aware, just statistically speaking, that Colson Montgomery's hit 44 home runs since he's been recalled last summer at this time? He leads the entire world at shortstop position with home runs. And he's like, well, home runs aren't everything. Like, well, that's true. I get that. But I don't think the White Sox will be sending Colson Montgomery back to AAA for any more seasoning. Those are some of the comments that I end up getting, or what I always love are the trade proposals that you see on.
Oh my God. Pages. Yes.
Hey, I got a proposal for you. We'll trade. Let's have the White Sox trade Eric Fetty, and we'll get, and some prospects, and we'll get Skubal. It's like, what are you guys talking about? And I don't do the we, I'm not on the team. I cannot wrap my mind around that. There are so many people that I meet who talk about we. Like, they're part of the team. Yankees fans, Cubs fans. You guys are not on the team. Those people don't care what you think. They don't care.
Yeah.
So please stop using we. That's my plea for today anyway. I'll let it go. There are certain things in life that I have to learn how to let go, right?
For anyone with comments, that's at MDRC at Twitter.
No, come at me, bro. I'm good. I'm a big boy. I can handle myself. It'll be okay. Well, Dave, the interesting thing for me with mine is that my rule for my Mount Rushmore was that I had to have seen these guys play. And mine might surprise you a little bit. You know, the 05 and 08 for my Twitter handle, which is insane and silly, is number 5 was George Brett. and number eight was Cal Ripken Jr. And those are two of my favorite players growing up. More so because of the way they played. They were great, obviously, but the grit that they played with was the thing that always got to me. You know, Ripken played every day despite being injured a lot of the time, and Brett was always playing with nagging things too and just played his butt off the entire time that he was in the league. But the other ones might surprise you. Ichiro is also on mine. He's probably my favorite player to watch in person. Just I saw him do things in batting practice that were just absolutely phenomenal. The way that he went about it, the way that he attacked it. I firmly believe that if he had wanted to, he could have hit 30 home runs a year if that's what he wanted to do.
You just took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. He was just a phenomenal player. And then my last one, probably my favorite catcher of all time is Bob Boone. And I always liked Bob Boone because I think I tried to pattern myself after him in a way. Like he was an incredible defensive catcher. He was a great psychologist on the field. He really knew what he was doing behind the plate. Gold Glover. He struggled with the bat a lot of the time, and that was kind of my mantra too. Like I was pretty good defensively. I could not hit a lick, especially when the ball started spinning. Forget it. Your old pal Mike Carter's got to go sit on the bench when the ball starts spinning. Not good. Not good. All right, Dave, let's transition into our beat writer roundup. And with it being the All-Star break this week, there weren't a lot of articles written about different players and whatnot. But what there was a lot of articles written about was the trade deadline. Deadline's coming up here in a little more than 2 weeks, honestly, which seems hard to believe. It's July 18th as we're recording this. The trade deadline is August 3rd, pushed back a couple of days this year from what it's been in the past. But I wanted to go through each team and look at where these teams are and determine if they're buyers or sellers, but then also talk a little bit about what kind of moves they might make. And so if you're okay with that, I'd like to go through all of those teams together. The articles that we're going to be referring to was on www.mlb.com Athletics News, every MLB team biggest trade deadline chip is the article that we're going to be referencing a lot through this one. Mm-hmm. Dave, before we go into that, why don't we just look at the standings real quick and see, are there any teams that you think for sure are sellers?
Will be or should be.
Because
I think a lot of teams should sell, but I don't think they will. But looking at the standings, it's really different this year because you could make a case that almost every team is in it. The team that's farthest out of it right now, the Rockies, 13 and a half games back of a wild card spot. Mm-hmm. And while that it technically is in reach, they probably will end up selling. There are a few teams that I think could sell. I think the Mets will be selling. I think the Giants will be selling. Mm-hmm. I think the Reds will be selling simply because of money. The Padres, if they had their way, they would sell. And over in the American League, I think the Angels, the Royals, the mm-hmm. Athletics, and honestly, I could almost see the Tigers and the Jays selling as well. But I don't think they will. I don't think those two teams will. But there are other teams that are competing that I think will end up selling as well. But we'll get to that a little bit later.
For sure. Yeah, I agree with your assessment. I think that there's really only about five or six teams that are definitely out of it. And those teams should be sellers, which means that it's going to be quite a market here. I think a robust market here coming up in the next couple of days. There's already rumors flying around. Yeah. Let's start over in the American League East then and talk about your almost hometown Toronto Blue Jays, who we were talking about before we recorded. You know, my beloved White Sox are playing them this weekend and thrashed them pretty good last night, 12-4. What do you think the Blue Jays are going to do here? Because they are really kind of a fascinating team based on where they were last year and based on what the expectations were this year. They're really having a hard time so far.
Yeah, they're one team that I referred to at the beginning. I think they should sell, but I don't think they will. Mm-hmm. I think they want to run it back and see if they can create some more magic like they did last year. The problem is they overachieved last year, and I don't know if they're underachieving this year. This might actually be just who they are. Mm-hmm. But according to one of those articles that we refer to, is that they're going to look for a rotation upgrade. So they have Dylan Cease, they have Gausman. That's great. That's a great start. But after that, how much do we actually trust Bieber, Max Scherzer, Spencer Miles? Would probably trust you, Savage. But in the end, I think they're going to end up trading away maybe some prospects to get, I don't know, my guess would be either a reunion with Robbie Ray or Luis Castillo from Seattle, who really wants to trade him away.
There's definitely some intrigue here when it comes to the Blue Jays, because they do feel like a team that has underperformed. But when you really look at the roster, you can see that it's there's kind of a gulf there between the guys that are the superstars and the regular type guys. You know, they're just not performing as well as what you would have hoped. And when you look at the rotation, you know, you would think that potentially they would go for an upgrade there. But can we just be done with the Max Scherzer thing already?
I had three injections in a thumb over the break. Three.
I can't wrap my mind around it. And, you know, they're missing Lenin Sosa. Barger now sounds like he's going to be out maybe for the rest of the year. They're not going to get Santander back. I just don't know. If I were them, I think that I would be looking maybe to buy and sell. You know, maybe they can get somebody that's got some team control that might help them. Money is not really an issue for them, right?
Not really, no. They'll say it is, but they're owned by a very rich company, so.
For sure. Yeah, it'll be really kind of fun to watch to see what Toronto ends up doing there, because if they decided to make some guys available, there could be some interesting names move there to other teams, but I don't think that's what they're going to do. I'm with you on this one. Yeah. Okay, shifting over to Baltimore. Baltimore has some issues there. They're underperforming as well. The White Sox were just there last weekend, and they're kind of hovering, and they're 47-51. They're 10 games behind in the American League East. They have a 24% chance to make the playoffs per roster resource. What do you see them doing here?
It's been a disappointing year because the expectations were pretty high, especially after getting Pete Alonso on their team. Mm-hmm. But I think they're going to end up selling. Ryan Helsley is going to be out for a significant amount of time. We don't really know at the end of the bullpen. Is Garcia the answer? Is Cano the answer? Tyler Wells? Probably not, right? Maybe Kittredge is, but I think that they have enough prospect depth that if they decide to do a small little upgrade here, they could probably make a trade, maybe to Kansas City. My guess would be that because the Royals have such an influx of bullpen arms, I could see them trading for like Daniel Lynch or Estevez or something like that, maybe making a small trade. But if they do decide to sell, they have enough talent there, and then they can just restock their prospects and maybe play again for next year. But it just doesn't seem like it's going to be in the cards for them this year.
Right now, Baltimore's back end of the back end of the bullpen looks like it's a timeshare between Tyler Wells and Andrew Kittredge. Last night, Kittredge got the hold and Wells got the save. Last weekend, it was the exact opposite of that. Both of those guys have the ability to be able to close out games. Kittredge has a little bit more experience, which may make them lean that way in the job. But Kittredge is also 36 and coming off injury as well. It could be kind of situation there where they just kind of mix and match until they figure it out. I don't think that they're going to make any big moves. I think, you know, a guy like Lynch, like you said, makes a lot of sense. A middle relief arm. They could really use a lefty there. Grant Wolfram is their only lefty in the bullpen right now. They could really use some help there. I don't know that they're going to do much of anything. I think they're looking at it as, hey, you know, let's get our rotation in order for next year. So they could have a rotation next year of Bradish, Baz, Young, Kremer, and Rogers. Not bad. That could be competitive in the American League East. But I just don't see them making any big moves. They have that young talent, but you know, you'd really like to see kind of what we talked about with Minnesota off the record here a few minutes ago. They really got to develop some of these younger guys. They just kind of get there and stall out, it seems like.
Yeah, that's a big problem for them and other teams as well. It's just maybe invest in player development as opposed to signing any player you can.
Sure. Okay, shifting over to the Tampa Bay Rays, who are, you know, currently kind of running away with this division. Oh, I shouldn't say running away. I mean, they're two and a half games up on the Yankees, I think, right now. But they're 56-40. Kind of surprising. I think people, you know, always think that the Rays will linger, but the Rays are actually at the top of the division right now. What do you think they're going to do here? They're always kind of a fun team to watch because they usually come up with a spate of moves that nobody sees coming.
Yeah, I think they're going to be buyers at the deadline, even though they really looked out of sorts yesterday against the Red Sox. I think they're going to be buyers. According to the one article, it's that they're going to be looking for another proven hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing the Rays, they probably won't spend too much. But I'm guessing a guy maybe like Jung-Hoo Lee or Maurice Lehrer. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like he'd be great there. And it would be a smaller deal. I know one of the articles suggested they have so many prospects that they could trade. I just don't see them trading away their top prospects, especially since two of them are catchers and they've had catcher problems for years. But I could see them making a smaller move for an outfielder. And because you saw it yesterday against Boston, it's like if their top hitters aren't on, the rest of the team struggles.
Yeah, they're kind of a weird mix there, right? They really could use some outfield help. I mean, right now their starting outfield is Victor Mesa Jr., Cedric Mullins, and Chandler Simpson. They could really use a little bit of thump there, although those guys have performed well. I'm not trying to take anything away from those guys in the seasons that they are having, but they really could use some fortifications in that lineup. Their rotation is really good. And I'm just going to say this too. I know Griffin Jacks got shelled last night. Do not give up on Griffin Jacks. The stuff is real. The stuff is legit. He's getting stretched out as a starter, and he's their SP4 right now. This is a guy who has really, really great stuff, and if he figures it out in the rotation, could be a league winner this year. I've rostered him in a bunch of different places just because I really, really like him, and I think he's going to do great things there.
Yeah, good call.
I like him a lot. Mm-hmm. Okay, shifting over to the Boston Red Sox, shout out to my friend Brian Appleby, big Red Sox fan, just texted me as we were recording, you know, asking to talk about Caleb Durbin, who he was really upset with me for saying that he was going to like earlier on in the season and now is performing quite well. The Red Sox are finally back at break even, Dave, 48-48. This is a fascinating team to think about what they are going to do at the break, or not at the break, I mean at the deadline. What do you think they're going to do?
It's funny how a week or two can really change an outlook on a season, but I think they're going to be buyers. I think they're going to buy in on this. They're going to try and keep the momentum going. The article suggests that they're looking for a right-handed bat. And quite honestly, if and when Roman Anthony returns, they're going to have like five or six left-handed bats. So my guess would be if they do go all out, what about trading for Luis Robert or Gleyber Torres?
Yeah, those would be nice additions for them. You know, as long as they don't plan on Luis Robert having to play in the outfield where he might, you know, a small child might scare him back to the disabled list.
That's true.
You know, they need a bat. I like their rotation a lot. You know, Patrick Sandoval's in there and he's done a nice job. They're waiting on Connelly Early to come back, I know as well, but they really seem to have found something with Bennett there. Jake Bennett, yes. Peyton Tolley, and Sonny Gray are great. The bullpen is really solid. You know, I wonder if the thing for them is they really could use a shortstop. I don't know how much they want to wait on Story to come back. I mean, they're relying on Anthony Siegler and Chen right now as their middle infield. Boy, wouldn't going all in on somebody like Francisco Lindor or something like that be – you know, if you're talking about the Mets being traders, they have to really kind of consider being open to anybody. But the Red Sox really could use a jump in the middle infield there. And I could see something like that kind of becoming the key thing. We'll see. It'll be fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Shifting over, the last team in the American League East, the Yankees, the dreaded New York Yankees. What are they going to do? I mean, the Yankees are never not going to make moves, right? I mean, they're in it to win it every year. They're 54-43. They're 2.5 games behind the Rays in the American League East. What do you think they're doing?
Well, the biggest need that these articles said they need is something behind the plate because Austin Wells is not it right now.
Well, he's been brutal.
And Ben Rice isn't going to retain catcher eligibility. They want him either out in the field or as a DH or whatever it is. I know Yankees fans want Hunter Goodman, but like you said about Homer trades earlier, there's not enough here to trade, I don't think. The value that their prospects like Jason Dominguez and Spencer Jones has once had, their value's gone down because coming into the league, they haven't really done exactly what they were prophesied to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I could really see them going after Ryan Jeffers,
mm-hmm.
or even if they wanted to spend a little less, get Caratini behind the plate there, one of those Twins catchers. Other than that, if they want to go big, why not maybe try after Willy Adames
mm-hmm.
at shortstop, see what you can do there, because Volpe and Caballero aren't the answer right now.
Yeah, and they have the financial resources to be able to pay Adames' contract if they really wanted to do something
like
that.
Yeah.
You know, he'd be a good fit in Yankee Stadium, and I think the fans there would really like his style of play too. The other guy that comes to mind for me catching-wise there would be like Logan Ohapi if he was healthy. I mean, the Angels should be sellers. Ohapi would have value to them, I think, behind the plate. As you said, Austin Wells has just been an absolute disaster this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I drafted him hoping for 20 home runs. He does have 6 home runs now, but he's hitting 153 with a 102 ISO. It's just been just ugly times there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely could use some help behind the plate, or maybe up the middle there too. Okay. Shifting over to the American League Central, the Cleveland Guardians, who I think are expecting Jose Ramirez back here in relatively short order, correct?
Yeah, I didn't actually open it, but it said he might actually skip his rehab assignment. So it might even be earlier than the trade deadline, like it was expected, which would be fantastic for them. I actually have them as sellers.
Hmm.
And it's weird. I know they're competing, but I always feel like no matter what they're doing, if an offer comes up where they can better themselves for the future, they'll take it. Like, wasn't it the Shane Bieber trade last year? Mm-hmm. They were competing and they still traded away Shane Bieber.
Right.
So I know I wrote this on Twitter and I got some backlash from it, and I could be wrong, but it just feels like if an offer comes up and they can get themselves better long-term, they might take it. That being said, they do need some offense. And if they do decide to buy, I could see them trying to cut a deal with the Rockies for some of their veterans.
Yeah, I think a guy like Breton Doyle or, you know, a Tyler Freeman, as we kind of discussed, would be guys that would be easier for them to acquire based mm-hmm. on their budget and what they're allowed to do. The Rockies do have a glut of outfielders all of a sudden that might be available, and those would be good fits for them. I think you're right. I mean, they're always the type of team that's looking to kind of – they're adding and subtracting at the same time based on what their needs are. They're not going to go away, though. We know that the Guardians will always be there, and you know, they're putting pressure on my beloved White Sox, who are a half game up as we speak today in first place. Didn't see that one coming.
No, me neither.
We'll talk about them in a minute. Let's shift over to the Royals. The Royals are a team that I think has a bevy of talent that people could probably hit up and make some acquisitions for. I think they're definitely sellers, don't you?
I do too. They're probably one of the most disappointing teams this year, simply because they brought in the fences and the offense hasn't been there. But if they're smart, and I think they are a smart organization, I think they should play for next year.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of solid bullpen options right now. And they also have some rotation issues that they can really, like older players that they could sell off, like a Seth Lugo or Michael Wacha. If they decide to sell, I could see them trading away to Chicago, maybe the Cubs. And the Cubs have decent prospects in Moises Ballesteros and Kevin Alcantara. So I could really see a Royals-Cubs trade happening there.
Mm-hmm. Well, both Chicago teams could use pitching. And it's been rumored that Michael Wacha and Seth Lugo are both, on the market, and guys that you might be able to get. I think the price will be probably pretty high. Honestly, the top line starters, we don't know how that market's going to develop or if it's going to develop. And so Michael Wacha and Seth Lugo could be two of the better starters that are available on the market. It all depends on what price you're willing to pay for that. Detroit, they obviously have the biggest trade piece of all in Tarek Skubal. What do you think they're going to do?
I think they're going to be buyers, although I think they should probably sell. I think they are going to be buying. They've got enough talent pitching-wise to win multiple series in a playoffs. They just need some offensive help. The article states that they could use a right-handed bat or some pitching prospects. But I think if they're buying, they're going to try and upgrade the outfield. like currently it's Riley Green, Matt Vierling, and James Outman in their outfield. Oof. That's not going to do it in the playoffs. Oof. So why not trade someone away to Baltimore who might be rebuilding, get Tyler O'Neill or Taylor Ward from them, and see what happens. That's my guess, by the way. The guess is Baltimore.
Yeah, Detroit's really kind of been – they're kind of in a little bit of limbo, aren't they? I mean, they've played better the last couple of months. They still have a 31% chance to make the playoffs per Fangraphs, but they're 45-52. And the American League Central with the White Sox and the Guardians at the top, they're only five games above 500, and they're in first place. So, you know, a 10-game swing similar to what Boston just did would put them right back in the middle of it. But the question is, do they really have the amount of talent that they need to be able to do that? You know, Scooble has not – you pointed this out during the week. I mean, Scooble has not been himself since he's been back. He's not been the Scooble that we're used to. Makes you wonder if he maybe rushed back a little bit. But what they have in front of them is really kind of a troubling thing, right? Do you try to win this year and then let Scooble walk at the end of the year and not get anything for him? Or do you try to trade him in the next couple of weeks for a bevy of prospects that might help you be able to restock the cupboards more quickly than if you lose him?
He says he wants to stay, but he's saying all the right things. I honestly don't know. This is a really tough one, and I'm glad that I don't work for the Tigers to have to make these decisions. Not to mention, they also have Justin Verlander, who's going to try and come back, and he's not going to want to just be on a team that is, you know, playing out the schedule. Depending on where he goes, if he stays, then I think they're going to try and build. But if, you know, they end up trading him, I think in their mind, they don't think they're going to.
Agreed. I think the proper move, I think, would be to move him, you know, and get what you can, get the best offer that you can for him, and just see what those offers are before you make the move. But I think that if their intention is not to re-sign him, and I don't know how they would be able to afford re-signing him, especially with all the money they just paid out Framber. I don't know. Because they do have a pretty good rotation with him in it, right? And is a rotation that could go deep into the playoffs. You know, we haven't talked at all about Jack Flaherty, but he's actually been very good the last month. Casey Mize has been really good as well, you know, so they have some pedigree there when it comes to the rotation. The lineup leaves a little bit to be desired for sure. Minnesota, shifting over to Minnesota, kind of an odd season for them too, right? Are they in it? You know, they're a 500 team. They're 49-49. They're three games back as of this recording. They have some high line players there that could really help other teams. What do you think they're going to do?
I think they might try and stick with this. I think they're ahead of the game here, that they really shouldn't be competing right now. If they do buy, it says the article says that they're going to be looking for relief pitching because they've lost so much over the years. So my guess would be someone like Daniel Lynch again. But other than that, I think they should sell, and I think they should try and get as much as they can for even a guy like Joe Ryan. Just sell, continue this rebuild. They have really good prospects coming up, but this is another example of a team that I think should invest in player development over players, because they can't develop anyone.
Yeah, the bullpen, the top end of the bullpen with Gomez and Morris has been good, but behind it has just been a whole lot of suckage. It's just not very, very good. And their lineup, to your point, they've got all these guys that they've brought up and are trying to develop, like Larnach and Royce Lewis, Brooks Lee, Kieschel. They're just in various stages of development. They're just not that good.
No.
You know, I wish they would trade Joe Ryan to the White Sox. That would make me really happy.
Well, I mean, that would definitely help you guys out to win that division.
Well, that's the next team on our list here is the White Sox. And again, being in Chicago here, it's been a fascinating season to see the White Sox be in first place after having, you know, 121 loss season two seasons ago. They are kind of playing with house money right now. They're a little bit ahead of schedule. The lineup has been actually very good. The pitching is mediocre, and that has been where the rumored upgrades have come from. Dave, what do you think they're going to be looking to do?
Well, the article says that they're going to be looking for pitching, and I totally get it with Davis Martin starting to just crumble. Schultz is a rookie, and honestly, how much do we actually trust Eric Fetty and Kay? They need someone to complement Sean Burke. It says that they're going to try and trade away their prospects, but they're not going to be trading away their biggest prospects, which leads me to believe they won't be able to get a guy like Joe Ryan or to his level.
Correct.
If I had to guess on a lower name pitcher, my guess here is Luis Severino from the A's. You can trade away some lower level prospects, but what do you think? Should they go all in here, or should they just continue with trust the process? That's what I was trying to say.
Well, I don't think they're going to be all in. I think that they will look to make some additions. They could definitely use some help in the rotation, a stabilizer there. And the bullpen, you know, they've been kind of a closer by committee here over the course of time, which doesn't really get it done when it comes to being a playoff team. I think that they're kind of living on this borrowed time. I don't know what the second half will look like. I know they were looking like they were pretty tired at the end of the half, just because of the fact that the amount of energy they have to expend to win games. You know, even though they're a group of young guys, it takes a lot for them to be able to pull it off. I definitely think they're in the market for a starting pitcher. I think that they're looking for guys that they can add that will be under team control still. So, you know, there was a lot of talk about Joe Ryan. Obviously, we talked about that. But another name that came up was Logan Webb. And would they be willing to trade a guy like Bonnemer and some other prospects for Logan Webb, who has two more years of team control? Because they really need a bedrock in that rotation. They really need a foundational piece in that rotation. And it is not Davis Martin. Davis Martin had a great first half. He's a really good pitcher, but he's not an ace. Now, the other thing you have to consider with the White Sox is that they're going to have some internal reinforcements coming. Pitching wise, Drew Thorpe is on rehab assignment right now. They like him a lot, a guy that can kind of come in. I really thought that when they signed Kay and when they signed Fetty, that they were trying to buy time in the first half for some of these guys to get healthy and also to further develop. So Drew Thorpe is a name to know that's a starting pitcher that could be back up here relatively soon. Also, Tanner McDougal is a guy that could be an internal reinforcement for the bullpen. And if you remember last year, they had a guy named Shane Smith who was an all-star.
Yep.
And he is back rehabbing, and they've made some mechanical changes. Brian Bannister, their pitching development guy, has gone down there and worked with Smith directly. And I'm guessing that he'll be back and be part of this rotation here in the second half at some point. So I don't think they're going to go crazy. I you know, the thing that I could see happening would be a guy like Severino does make some sense. A guy like Waka or Lugo adding a veteran presence there, because they don't have – if they made the playoffs, they don't have three starters that you would feel confident in right now. You know, being in a rotation battle in the middle of the playoffs. I mean, Martin would be one of those guys. Sean Burke has been terrific. You know, he's kind of flying under the radar in a lot of places, but they really could use another guy there. It'll be fun to see what they do. Nobody thought we would be in this position, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's switch over to the American League West. The Angels, definite sellers. You know, they're going through a new regime now. It looks like they're going to be rebuilding. What do you think they're going to do, and what's their best trade piece, do you think?
I think they need to trade anyone and everyone.
anything that's not nailed down, right?
Yeah, and the new GM, the new everything. Their farm has pitchers, but they don't really have hitters. I like your idea of Logan Ohapi being traded. I think that's a good one. Jorge Soler should go. He's old, and he should just take whatever you can get. What about, though, what if they trade away Mike Trout?
Do you think that's a possibility?
I'm just throwing it out there as an idea. What do you think about that? Because my guess here that I wrote on the show doc was trade Trout to the Dodgers for one or two of their top prospects.
Oh, man. I that makes me sick to my stomach. But Trout's been great, right? I mean, he's got 18 home runs. He's even chipped in 7 steals so far this year. You know, he's been phenomenal. He's almost 35. You'd love to see the guy get a chance to win, right?
That's pretty much what it is. It's like Verlander in Detroit. You want to give them one last chance. Why not? And it's the same city, so he wouldn't really have to leave his family.
Right.
I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. What we didn't cover, though, was the obvious one was Reed Detmers.
Yeah.
He's going to be gone. He's been great. He's one of their best assets. I think he should go. And I think that the price for him throughout the league is going to be as high as it can go. I think he's going to be the bell of the ball.
So well, he's not a free agent until 2029, and he's ARB eligible next year. So, you know, he's going to have some team control. And for as long as he's been around, he just turned 27. So somebody's going to get a gem there, I think. You know, a lot of White Sox fans around here are very interested in Detmers as well. They should be, because he kind of fits the mold of what they would be looking to do. But the price is going to be very high, to your point. Astros, I think, are really, really fascinating. You know, with where they're at and what they've kind of experienced this year, they are right now 47-52, only three games out of first place. An aging team, a team that's got an odd mix of veterans and some young guys. What are they going to do with this trade deadline?
Well, the biggest need that they have is a left-handed outfield bat. And good right luck. Now their outfield has Taylor Trammell, Bryce Matthews, who I think just went on the IL, and Jake Myers. So that obviously won't cut it. What about a guy like Jake McCarthy or even Masataka Yoshida from Boston?
Now, that would be kind of fun to see.
Yeah, because I know the Red Sox would love to get rid of Yoshida. He's a contract that I think the old regime signed. They really haven't had a place for him there. And I think he'd do well as a left-handed bat in Houston there.
Yeah, they can't live with Lamont Wade playing every day. I mean, that you can't be a serious playoff contender and tell me that that's what you're going to do, right? Yeah. McCarthy would make a lot of sense in left field there for them too if the Rockies were willing to part with him, and they should be because they're terrible, and he's actually having a nice year, might return something good for them. Or even if they wanted to, you know, a guy like Mickey Moniak might be helpful to the Astros as well. He's been pretty good this year. The Athletics, you know, they've got some pitching. They seem to always have pitching. They probably are going to be sellers, we would imagine here, right? They are 41-56. Ironically, 41-56 only has them 8 games out of first place in the American League West, where the Rangers are in first place at 49-48. What are the Athletics going to do?
Yeah, they're pitching. They have a lot, but they also need a lot. It's a it's an ERA over 5 on the season, but it's probably just a product too of the stadiums that they've been
playing. I was going to ask you that. Yeah.
Yeah. The article says they could be buyers or sellers. If they buy, then maybe a guy like Robbie Ray or Kirby Yates from the Angels. But if they sell, the other article actually speculated on Shea Langeliers, which was a really interesting name to throw out there, because I always thought of him as part of their future. But I don't know. It threw him out there, Mark Leiter Jr. and Tommy White.
So they just called him up.
They did, yeah. And I thought that he was up because they were worried Nick Kurtz is going to be out for a long time. But I don't know.
Yeah, they definitely have some players there that I think are going to be good in from the development standpoint, and guys that a couple guys that I saw play in the Arizona Fall League, including White, Kuroda Grauer as well is another one that we saw in the Arizona Fall League. Definitely some talent that's coming up through the pipeline there, but the Athletics I think should be sellers, and that includes all the people that are in their bullpen and. You know, obviously keeping some of the guys like Kurtz is obviously part of their future. Rooker is hurt, but Langeliers getting moved would be interesting. I would guess that his value would be relatively high, depending on, you know, who's doing the buying. But, you know, then you're talking about a guy that's got 22 home runs. It seems like he's going to surpass his career high of 31 from last year.
Yeah.
Very, very good player. Very good player. Seattle Mariners, another team to really think about here and look at what they're doing and really kind of probe into it.
Yeah, they need a right-handed bat. Right now, their entire infield is left-handed batters. And against left-handed pitching this year, they've got an OPS of around 600. My guess would be a reunion either with Eugenio Suarez Or if it also says they needed a proven reliever, which I thought I found very interesting as well. My guess would be maybe AJ Minter out of New York.
Yeah, they do. They really could use another relief pitcher there. You know, with Matt Brash really being the top setup guy who's hurt behind Munoz, they've been relying on Jose A. Ferrer and Edward Bazardo as their top setup options. They definitely could use somebody, especially in that middle relief area right now, because the three guys that they're using in middle and long relief are just, you know, they're just not great options. They definitely could use some help there. They should be getting Brendan Donovan back pretty soon as well. And I know Julio Rodriguez is out with a concussion, but I haven't heard any news on him coming back. Have you?
Yeah, he's back today, actually.
Oh, is he?
He'll be back today, Saturday. So he'll be back by the time people are listening to this.
Good to know. Good to know.
Yeah.
And then the last team in the American League here is the Texas Rangers. Again, another really intriguing team to look at just because of where they are in the standings and where it looks like they might be trying to go. What do you think they're going to do?
Yeah, the article says they need another high leverage arm. Mm-hmm. They've got Cody Bradford and Montgomery coming back. The bullpen really is a mess after Lats and Jacob Eunice. But if they're looking for a reliever, I could see Antonio Sensatella coming over.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd be a nice add for them. I'd be surprised though if they don't end up selling. I know they're doing well right now, but they've got guys like Jacob DeGrom, Nathan Eovaldi, and Corey Seager. Those are pretty good trade assets as it stands. And if they really want to rebuild for next year, I think you could really get a lot for those three guys.
And it's going to be a tough sell for them, right? Because at 49 and 48, they're in first place in the American League West right now.
Yeah, that's true. You can't really tell your fan base, hey, we're over 500. We're in the race here, but we're worried about 2027.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see them really kind of being stuck, you know, and instead of selling, you know, maybe doing something like, oh, I don't know, maybe go get a second baseman or something, you know, like Nicky Lopez is not the answer. I know that, you know that, they know that, their fans know that. Yeah. So it will be fun to watch as we get to the deadline. Dave, that's the American League. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll discuss the National League quickly. All right, and we're back. So we're going to take a look at the National League, and we'll try to be a little quicker about it. I know that I was kind of dragging my feet here on the American League and maybe talking a little bit too much. Starting off in the National League East with the Atlanta Braves, they really are in this thing for sure. You know, they're 56-40. They're in first place in the National League East, but there's some cracks in the armor, aren't there?
Yeah, they've been ravaged by injuries, and just yesterday it said it doesn't – seem likely that Strider or Schwellenbach might return for much of anything this year. Now, the article did mention they have $15 million to spend based off Jerks and Profar's suspension. And they also have a strong farm system. So I could see them going after a guy like Robbie Ray, Freddie Peralta, or maybe one of the Diamondbacks' arms.
I'd like to see this Owen Murphy pitch. I think he starts today, their first round pick from 22. Who's getting a chance in the rotation now behind Chris Sale. The rest of their rotation leaves a lot to be desired long-term, I think, with Grant Holmes, Ronaldo Lopez, and Bryce Elder. It's kind of playing poker every night, I think, with those different guys. They could be in a little bit of a tough spot there, although they do have an incredible bullpen. It's been great.
Yeah.
And they do need to get healthy. It will be fun to watch to see what they do. They do have some holes there, though, that they could look to fill. How about the Miami Marlins? They were a team, I think, before the season started that a lot of people thought would not be in contention and not be very good. Yet they're 52-46 right now as we sit. What do you think they're going to do?
Well, it says that they need a right-handed bat, and I mean their weakness right now is against left-handed pitchers. They're 10-15 against them in the first half.
Oof.
They don't really spend a lot of money though. So I don't know if they're going to make that big splash. If they were, they have a guy like Braxton Garrett who hasn't been called up yet. The article says that, you know, he was from their last regime, so maybe they don't want him. He'd be a great trade piece if you want to send him out for a guy like Spencer Steer or Taylor Ward, something like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
That's about the level I could see them going though. I don't see them in the big mix for some of the bigger names.
Because their rotation's actually pretty good, right? With Sandy Alcantara, Max Meyer, Yuri Perez, and then Tyler Phillips has not been bad as a starter. Yeah. And Jansen Junk is okay-ish, right? They do have some ability there. I wonder if they could do kind of a mix of both too, like buying and selling, right? Like I could see teams being, even though Fairbanks has been pretty bad this year, I could see teams lining up trying to get him. You know, when he's good and when he's in a warm climate, he does really well historically. Yeah. Could be interesting. I do like Braxton Garrett quite a bit too. I've been wondering why he doesn't get a chance. I think he's got some command issues. Lefties often do. But you're right, as being part of a different regime might actually really help him resurrect his career. Shifting over to the ever disappointing New York Mets. Boy, they've really got a mess on their hands there, don't they, Dave?
They need everything everywhere. It's just poorly spent money right now. And I think that they should just sell anyone and everyone that they can for almost anything that they can get. The biggest one right now is Freddy Peralta, who's a free agent after this year. I think the market will be, it should be bigger than what it is, even though he struggled. But I think the Mets might just be desperate enough to trade him away for whatever they can get. Other than that, they could just trade away for some youth and for some controllable assets for next year.
Yeah, anybody not named Ewing, Soto, Benj, Scott, McClain probably should be on the table there, right, to be offered. I mean, Devin Williams, Luke Weaver, those guys, they should be on the market. What a colossal disappointment this team has been, and the spending of money frivolously. You and I talk about victory laps all the time, and we talk about different players. I mean, Lindor is obviously back after having been hurt, but can we just talk about how bad Bo Bichette is at baseball right now?
Yeah, he's going through some injuries, so I get that. But it was weird just seeing him talk and get emotional of a return back to Toronto. It's almost as if he didn't really want to be in New York.
No, I think a lot of players struggle when they go to New York. The glare there is just so intense and daily all the time. It's got to be really hard to be a player there.
Yeah, and that's coming from a city like Toronto that's pretty big in its own right, but it's just – it's
nothing's like New York, Dave. Nothing's like New York.
No, and that's what I'm saying. I know what it's like here in Toronto, but it can only be so much more in New York.
Freddy Peralta really should probably be on the move here, and I'm guessing that he probably will be as well, right? So it'll be something to see here in the next couple of weeks. The Washington Nationals – I have surprised a little bit this year as well. They're 49-49. They're 500. They've got a great young lineup, as everyone knows. They really could use some bullpen help. What do you think they might be able to do at the trade deadline?
Yeah, so they've got 27 blown saves this year. Oh. That's and an ERA over 5 for their bullpen. Oh. So if they are buying, I think they need some bullpen help. Why not make a trade with Chicago for Sir Anthony Dominguez?
Sure, give me Harry Ford. Call it even.
There you go.
I'm kidding. Harry Ford just got called up. I think he hit a home run last night.
Oh, did he? I love Harry Ford. Oh.
Yeah, he's up. He's up. And the only competition he has there at catcher is Keibert Ruiz, who never really makes it. But they definitely could use some help in that that bullpen. I would trade you Sir Anthony Dominguez for 2 cases of baseballs right now. Philadelphia Phillies, ironically, are in this big time as well. 54-44. They're 3 games behind the Braves and surging. Another team with a great lineup. What do you think they need at the deadline?
Well, the article says they need a late inning high leverage reliever. Mm-hmm. So, their starting pitching's solid. Their offense is fine. They just need another late inning shutdown. They can't miss out on this though. In the past, they haven't been able to make the deals that they need to make or sign the free agents they need. And right now the clock is ticking. Nobody expected Zach Wheeler to look like Zach Wheeler this year, and there's not much time left for him. So they need to make as many moves as they can to solidify and maybe get a World Series there. My guess would be a guy like AJ Minter would be a great addition for them.
Well, they could also go back to the well and get Matt Strom back from Kansas City too. He was really good for them as well. Yeah. They definitely need something at the back end there, especially with Brad Keller going down now with this torn UCL this week. That's a real blow for them.
Yes.
And their other lefty, Tanner Banks, who's been good for them historically, has also got a strained forearm. So the only lefties in their bullpen right now are Jose Alvarado, who's a bit of a crapshoot every time he goes out there, and Tim Meza, who is a more of a middle relief type of guy. They really could use somebody with high octane at the back there. Kirk Green and Jonathan Bolin are their top setup guys right now behind Duran. Obviously, they don't need a closer. They have one of the three best in baseball right now.
Right.
Shifting over to the National League Central, my favorite National League team, the Milwaukee Brewers, they have some injury concerns in their rotation.
Yeah, it's not looking good. Mizorowski's off for a bit, just needs rest. So we'll take him as his word right now. But Brandon Woodruff is going to be announcing something tomorrow. So by the time this is released, it looks very ominous. They need innings, and they need a lot of them. They have a very deep farm system. Mm-hmm. So they, if they really want to go all in, they could make a trade or two to get some pitchers. My guess is that they won't go all in, but they'll get some lower end pitching. And I think they'll raid the Diamondbacks rotation and just maybe take one or two of them away from Arizona.
You could definitely see somebody like Merrill Kelly fitting in there, right? Like, just he'd be a great slot in. To your point, they've got a lot of depth there, but do they have enough to be able to stay? You know, the Cubs are chasing from behind here. We'll talk about them in a second. But Mizorowski, for those of you listening, is scheduled to start on Monday against the New York Mets, Monday the 20th. So we'll see how he looks. I know that there was some concern and some eyebrows raised when he was not in the weekend rotation coming out of the All-Star break, but I think they're going to try to, you know, give him breaks where they can. He's already thrown quite a few innings. I think he's over 100 innings for them already. And last year, I think he only threw about 120. So there's definitely some concern there as he's adding mileage to that arm. But Sproat has been better for them. Logan Henderson is back up. I've never understood why he's not up all the time. Shane Drohan has been terrific. I just wrote about him this morning in my article. And then Robert Gosser is another young guy that they have that they feel is ready to contribute. Great back end of the bullpen. Also, keep in mind as well, they have Lance McCullers, who they just acquired from Houston. They're using him in the bullpen right now, but he could step into the rotation if he proves that he's healthy as well. The Brewers are just a fascinating team to watch because they figure out ways to get it done. How about a reunion with a cheap Freddie Peralta with only a little bit left on his contract?
Oh, I like that.
Could happen.
That's a good idea.
I don't know if it's a good idea, but it could happen. The Cardinals, another team sort of like my White Sox that are kind of playing with house money right now. They're 51-45. They're in the third place in the National League Central. They've had a fun year so far. What do you think they might do at the deadline?
I think if they're going to buy, they need to upgrade at pitcher. Right now, their rotation of Dustin May, McGreevy, Leahy, Liberatore, and Pallante, they're all good pitchers, but nowhere near great. So their biggest trade candidate right now is probably Lars Nootbaar, because he just feels like he just doesn't fit in right now. But he is healthy, and he is good when he plays. He's just older. So why not make a trade for Jose Soriano from the Angels? Mm. A nice Nootbaar for Soriano trade. That's my guess.
That actually makes sense in a lot of ways. You're right about their pitching staff. They don't have anybody that comes up and blows you away. They have a bunch of guys that know how to pitch, though, which has been interesting for them this season. Guys that get outs, but not always in a very sexy fashion via the strikeout like we might like to see. They definitely could use some upgrades there, but I could see them doing kind of a thing with both, right? Where they do a little bit of both. They do some moving of guys that are on expiring contracts, trying to get guys that might be able to help them down the road. Because I think that they could look at trading guys like Dustin May. They could look at trading guys like Riley O'Brien if they feel like they're not in it to win it. Moving to the Cubs, boy, we've talked a little bit about them already today. They're in a little bit of a predicament. They're 54-43. They're six games behind the Brewers in the National League Central right now, and they are in dire need of pitching across the board, aren't they?
Yeah, this is going to be quick and simple. Just trade away your offensive prospects for starting pitching. And I would trade away Matt Shaw and I would trade away Moises Ballesteros, get one pitcher for each, throw them in the rotation, hope for the best.
They seem to not like Matt Shaw.
Well, there's no spot for him. And then, I mean, they've got a lot of the core pieces that they have, they've already been signed long term. So they just don't really have a place for him to play. But
I totally understand what you mean. I totally understand what you mean about them not having a place for him to play. But this is a team that's also starting Michael Conforto. So
true.
There's something there. There's something's not right. I don't know what it is, but Shaw seems like he would be a good trade piece for them to be able to get some things. But they're also kind of stuck in a weird spot as well, because they really kind of have to go for it because of the money that they've spent and because of the fact that they have guys coming up on free agency. You know, they're Hap and Suzuki are free agents at the end of the year that could end up walking. It's going to be a really interesting offseason for them. They really kind of have to go for it, and they probably will. The Pirates, again, another team here that I find really interesting to look at. I thought for sure they would be sellers at the deadline. Right now, they've played themselves into contention. They're 50-47 at the All-Star break. What do you think they're going to do?
They've been a really fun team to watch this year. The article says that they're going to look for a high leverage reliever. And I've seen this in some of the other, you know, team reports throughout the year. I don't think Greg Rusotto is the answer. With the offense clicking, why don't they go all in? If this team decides to sell, why not trade for Aroldis Chapman?
Boy, look at you with the interesting rumors, starting rumors. Yeah, they definitely need some help at the back end there. I mean, I think Mason Montgomery is a better pitcher than Soto, but he's a little bit of a wild card at this point, too. I'm sorry, I cut you off. You were about to say something else.
Oh, no, I was just agreeing with what you were saying. That's all.
Gotcha. You know, and you look at the teams that are really down and out, they don't have great closers at the back end of their bullpens. You know, the Reds could look to trade somebody like Emilio Pagan if they're feeling like they're out of it. We'll talk about them next. But, you know, the Pirates definitely could use some help at the back end. I love their rotation. I love what they're doing in Pittsburgh. I think it's been really, really fun to watch.
Yeah.
The Reds, really intriguing options that they have to trade here, because there's some guys that they might have available that we had not thought of prior.
Yeah, with them, it's like two steps forward but three steps back. You think they're taking a turn for the better, and then all of a sudden a season like this happens. I don't think they'll spend much, because I think at the end of the day, it's all about money with them. Mm-hmm. If they do buy, I could see them going after someone like Jung-Hoo Lee again. I know I bring him up a lot. But the other article brought up an interesting name that could be on the trade block here. Mm-hmm. It's Hunter Green.
Mm-hmm.
And he's signed through to the next couple of years. But he's got a contract that goes up from 15.3 next year to 16.3 in 2028 and 21 million in 2029. You could get a lot for Hunter Green, because as bad as they've been this year, they weren't really totally out of it without him mm-hmm. in the lineup. But if you could get the next Hunter Green, as well as some hitters under control for Hunter Green, I think you might have to at least answer the call and think about it.
I feel like he's a guy that makes a lot of sense for the White Sox. You know, they're looking for that ace type of guy to anchor them down. He's not been good. I mean, he's only made two starts, and neither one of them were very good so far. He's got to get his feet back under him a little bit, but he's affordable. The White Sox have no money on the books next year. That would make sense. Green would be a huge add for somebody. It's interesting, though, because the Reds actually have kind of two aces in idea with him and Burns, and some other guys that are coming up through the prospect ranks. But I think that the Reds will be moving people. I don't know if they'll move Green, but you know, when I look at them and what I see guys like Pagan, who I mentioned before, Spencer Steer, who we've talked about today as well, is another guy, TJ Friedel, you know, Tyler Stevenson. I think any of those guys that are not tied down. I mean, Sal Stewart, they obviously want to keep, Ellie Stein, but anybody else that's there could move. I would actually like to see Noel V. Marte get out of there and get a chance somewhere else.
Yeah. It's not working there.
No, it's not. It's not. Okay, shifting over to our last division that we have to cover, the National League West. The Arizona Diamondbacks, who we were just talking about strip mining essentially earlier before, are actually 49-48 and in second place in the National League West. Not that it matters when the Dodgers are 62-36 and you're 12 and a half games behind. But they have some things that they could do there to make this team a little bit more competitive down the stretch, couldn't they?
Yeah, and they did something like this last year where they were competing, but they actually ended up selling at the deadline. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder if they're going to do that as well this year. The article says that they could use help at first base. And I mean, you look at their team right now, it's Vargas, Pavin Smith, and Carlos Santana throughout the year.
Yeah.
That's not it.
And they've said goodbye to Pavin Smith and also Santana. And then yesterday called up Tyler Locklear, who I was wondering why was not getting an opportunity all year. Mm-hmm. That first base has been a black hole for them.
He's got the prospect pedigree to do something potentially, but it's hard to tell right now if this is who he is and if this is their answer. So my guess would be, I've got two things. One, maybe make a trade for James Tibbs out of the Dodgers. He's been a great prospect for them this year. Or even thinking about trading away Paul Sewald to the Pirates for Spencer Horwitz.
Oh, that would be an interesting trade. Yeah, Sewald definitely. God love him, you know. I mean, 36 years old, coming back from nowhere, getting saves like crazy. You know, they have a lot of guys on the injury list now, too. You know, Gallen's out. Corbin Burns hasn't been back yet. Soroka is, I guess, on the way back. But you know, Justin Martinez and A.J. Puck, you know, been waiting for those guys to come back. Puck had a setback, not with the elbow that he just had fixed, but with his shoulder. Puck was ahead of Martinez. So they could make a surge at the end if they're able to get any of those guys back, kind of what they've done in years past as well. Yeah. The Dodgers, do we even need to talk about the Dodgers? Yes, we do. it is a situation of the rich getting richer. They're getting some guys back from injury, but what do you think they might add, if at all?
Why not go for Tarek Skubal? They've got the league's best farm system. Why not pick a couple of guys, send them over to Detroit, go get Skubal, and then we can get on with this lockout for next year and be done with it. No, I it's just they've got Snell coming back, Glasnow coming back, Edwin Diaz will be back soon. You'd think that would be enough, but I don't know.
No, they'll add somewhere. They'll figure out a perceived weakness that they have, and they'll get somebody, whether that be, they're waiting on Will Smith to get back with his neck injury. They really could use some depth on the bench, you know, some guys that might be able to help them out in that regard. Wouldn't it be funny if they did something like go to Arizona and say, oh, we want Ketel Marte, and they get Marte, and then they get, you know, Skubal. If they get Skubal, it would turn my stomach. But at the same time, I have to give the Dodgers proper credit and kudos because, you know, there a lot of the people who are not knowledgeable look at the Dodgers and say, oh, they just buy what they need. And that's true, but you only do that if you have a great organization that has a great farm system as well. And so they're able to make moves to get the things that they need in the short term to be able to give themselves the best chance to win every year, and why not? And so you have to tip your hat to them in a way. They're not just going out and getting the best free agents, although they do that too. They build, they figure out what they need, and they go and get it. They definitely could use a rotation upgrade. I mean, I like their six-man rotation, but you know, Eric Lauer is not starting a game in the playoffs. Emmett Sheehan's probably not starting a game in the playoffs. And Robleski, for as good as he's been and for being an all-star, they would love to push him over to the bullpen and use him there and get another strong starter there. So, you know, Skubal would be somebody that could fit in there, obviously, and that would be really strengthening an already strong hand.
And we can't forget about Otani's knee as well.
Yeah, so he's a little banged up.
Yeah. So, a rotation piece makes sense. And honestly, you mentioned Will Smith, too. I could see them going out and maybe trying to get, I don't know, Ryan Jeffers if this Will Smith injury is as serious as it's kind of sounding to be.
Yeah, they definitely could use a catcher there, especially with the troubles that they've had. And I'm not going to go into detail with it with Dalton rushing and how he gets along with their pitchers. It's been a real problem. And Smith is kind of their leader, obviously, if he comes back and he's healthy. But, you know, the other thing with Will Smith is he's 31. There's a lot of miles on those legs, too. They could really use another good catcher there, which they've not had in a while. So That would be interesting to see. The Giants are out of it. The Giants have a lot of pieces, though, that teams would be interested in. Who do you think is going to be on the move there? I think Buster Posey will trade anyone that's not nailed down.
Yeah, and if you're okay with it, I'm going to combine this team and the Padres together in the sense that I think both these franchises, they have overpriced assets that haven't worked out for them. They just need to trade away anyone that they can. So with the Giants, it's Devers, Chapman, Adames, Ray. Sell them all off. And with the Padres, it's Machado, Xander Bogaerts. If they can trade them away, do it. Both of them should just take as many prospects as they can get. They should try and rebuild and try and free up some money that they can spend more wisely in free agency whenever the season starts again.
Do you think Webb stays in San Francisco?
I do. I kind of see him as like Mr. Giant. Like he's a part of that team. Just like Byron Buxton is a part of Minnesota. I see Logan Webb as Mr. San Francisco.
And as a connection to that, you're talking about the Padres. Do you think that the Padres are serious about trading Mason Miller?
I think they have to trade Mason Miller if they want to trade away a guy like Xander Bogaerts. I think they have to attach Mason Miller to one of these really big contracts just so that they can get off of, like, those, the Machado and Xander Bogaerts contracts are so bad. And it wouldn't have been so bad had they had won recently, but they're getting older. They're not winning, and they're going to have them for the next 5-6 years. So if it means I have to give up Mason Miller in order to free up that much money, because they're a very small market team. I would be trying to trade away anyone and everyone I could.
Can I tell you about my dream that I had the other night about the White Sox bullpen at the trade deadline?
You had a White Sox bullpen?
Yeah, I love three-headed monsters at the end of bullpens, kind of like Kansas City had in the mid-2000s with, you know, their three guys there. I had a dream the other night that the White Sox at the deadline got Miller and Chapman and paired them with Grant Taylor. And I woke up and I was like, it was in one of those moments where I was like, did that really happen? And like for 30 seconds, I was like super excited and like my fingers felt like electric and everything. And then I realized it was just a dream. And because I looked at the box score and I realized Sir Anthony Dominguez was still their closer and I started to get a little weepy. the last team here, Dave, obviously is the Rockies. They've got a lot of things that they could move and they probably will.
Yeah. Trade anyone and everyone they can. They have an influx of outfielders. Trade them all away.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's take our last ad break. I know we're running a little longer than what we usually do. Take our last ad break and come back with our mental health moment. All right, Dave, we're back for the final segment here. Happy Saturday to you. I hope your coffee has been great. Mine has been wonderful. I got a little Dunkin' Donuts here in my mug. Sometimes, you know, we talk a lot about different things in the mental health moment, but we often don't talk enough about rest. You and I are both really busy guys. We have busy careers, busy families. We like to get out and be active. I coach baseball. You go out on like nice long bike rides and do different things athletically and physically to kind of relax. But we talked a little bit about Mount Rushmore earlier in the show, or our Mount Rushmore of baseball players. But sometimes we really just need to kick back and relax, don't we? And sometimes the way that we can kind of kick back and relax is just watching a movie or just kind of taking that 2-hour time and just kind of chilling out and watching something. So I wanted to kind of phrase this in the same way that we did at the beginning of the show, which is making our Mount Rushmore of baseball movies. But there's a couple of rules that we have to have here. Number one, we can only pick movies that we have both seen. And each of us gets a golden ticket for this one. We can force the movie onto this list of four, regardless of the other person's opinion or if they haven't yet seen that movie. So, Dave, we came up with a list of movies, the best baseball movies that we have seen that we feel are worth consideration. I'm going to kick it to you first. Let you go first. First movie.
Okay. So, for me, I love Moneyball. I think it is phenomenal.
I just watched it last night. No joke.
Really?
Yeah. Jack and Katie and I were home. Ellie was at work slinging chicken fingers at Raising Cane's, and we had it on. And they found it as fascinating as I do in terms of how that was all set. But I cut you off. Moneyball's great.
No, it's fine. It's so good just to see the behind the scenes of how deals can be made and how players are discussed and how you approach a different player trying to join the team or whatever. So I really, really enjoy Moneyball. So I think for me, that's got to be on our list, at least one of them, right?
I'll live with that.
Okay. So let me write this down. We got Moneyball. Now, I unfortunately have not seen Bull Durham or The Natural.
What?
I haven't.
Wait a minute. Wait, time out. Let's take a 20-second time out here. How is that even possible?
I don't know. I don't know. I may have seen, to be fair, I may have seen some of it with my dad when I was younger, because a big story of this movie is that my dad taped it off TV, but he ran out of tape right at the end. Doesn't he hit the home run? It's The Natural, right? Where he comes through.
Oh, you're killing me.
I know. But my dad has never seen the ending of this movie because when he's getting that last pitch, the tape runs out.
Okay. Well, we'll have to talk about remedying that offline. Maybe we'll do a show one time where we just watch The Natural.
Do you need to use one of your golden tickets on?
No, I'm going to reserve judgment. I'm good with Moneyball so far.
Okay.
One that I'm going to put in for me is absolutely The Sandlot. Sandlot's got to be on there. Do you agree?
100%. And I love what the All-Star Game did. This
was terrific.
It made me think about watching that movie all over again. It was great.
It just always reminds me of playing ball with my friends, which is the thing that I always admired. I mean, when I was a kid, the Sandlot ball was starting to die when I was a kid, but I played a lot of fast pitch up against the school walls with rubber coated plastic balls and stuff like that. And then played organized baseball up through high school, you know? So, Sandlot's got to be on it for me.
Okay. So we're at the Moneyball and Sandlot. We got 2 of 4 going on right now.
Okay.
Of the rest that I wrote down here that I've seen, I really like The Rookie. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I want to put that as a top four. Major League One is hilarious.
It is funny.
Field of Dreams.
Yeah, Field of Dreams has to be on there for me.
I think I've got to put Field of Dreams on this.
I actually, back when I was in high school, I used to go to this writing camp at the University of Iowa in the summertime. And I actually met Bill Kinsella, the guy who wrote the book that Field of Dreams was based on called Shoeless Joe. And being a White Sox fan, I was always interested in the Black Sox scandal from 1919 when they lost the World Series on purpose for money. And he had written this book about it, and I bought it. And I actually got to meet him because he lived in Iowa City, and he actually was doing a book reading for a different book. And I actually got him to sign my copy of Shoeless Joe. No joke.
Oh wow!
I still have it. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Kind of crazy. Field of Dreams has got to be on there for me. And then I guess I get the next one.
Yeah. And if you want to use your golden ticket on those two that I haven't seen,
this is a tough one because I love both Bull Durham. Bull Durham is probably one of my five favorite movies of all time. But, this being a family show, I don't know if we should put Bull Durham on there. I loved Bull Durham. I think it was great. It reminded me most of what being around clubhouses is like, the way the guys act and stuff like that with all their superstitions and whatnot. But I really, really like A League of Their Own. That's one of my favorite movies. I mean, A League of Their Own to me would fit in with these. And because of the fact that we put Field of Dreams in, I guess I'll have to punt on Bull Durham. The Natural is great, but it's also kind of I prefer the book. The book was written by a guy named Bernard Malamud, who was a New York writer. And you've not seen The Natural. It's kind of got this supernatural kind of mystique over it where you kind of sometimes when you watch it, you roll your eyes at the end. You're like, yeah, whatever. And then other times you're like, man, this is glorious. This is fantastic. So I would put of the ones that are here there, I would like. I think we can't overrepresent Kevin Costner. I would vote for A League of Their Own of these ones that are here.
Okay.
I love that movie. I think it's great.
All right. So right now our Mount Rushmore is Moneyball, The Sandlot, Field of Dreams, and A League of Their Own.
And but you have a golden ticket left.
I do, but you know what? I'm okay. I am okay with, like, I picked Moneyball and Field of Dreams. I am definitely okay with that. And I love The Sandlot. That would have been my pick. So
The Sandlot is the only one of those movies that's based on kids that I enjoy. Like, I hated Rookie of the Year. I hated Little Big League. Angels in the Outfield. Angels in the Outfield made me feel ill. Like, I just
think it was the Cubs.
I don't think it was that. I mean, I just I don't, those types of movies always, they don't hit with me. I'm a little bit more serious, I guess. I do love The Rookie too. Rookie was a good choice to put in there as well. 42 was one we didn't mention, but 42 could definitely be in there. Yeah. That's a movie that even people I know who don't know much about baseball really, really liked.
It's just a good movie.
It's a really good movie. Chadwick Boseman was super talented, even though Harrison Ford is kind of overwrought as Branch Rickey, but that's a conversation for a different day. But I can live with this Mount Rushmore, dude. I can live with it.
All right, let's go with it. Moneyball, The Sandlot, Field of Dreams, and A League of Their Own.
I'm prepared to take criticism.
Well, hey.
I'm always ready to take criticism, brother. It's okay. Well, we've gone a little bit longer than what we usually do. We're at an hour and 20 minutes, and we'll use that to wrap up our show this week. Dave, anything else for the listening audience here?
Just the quote is that from Bob Lemon. He said, "The two most important things in life are good friends and a strong bullpen."
He's not wrong on either one of those things. We'll be back with another episode next week. Dave, I will be recording from Michigan. I'll be on a vacation with the family, but I have found a local coffee shop for us to be able to record. I'll bring everything with. I look forward to hearing from you then. And for all of you that are listening, thank you so much for giving us another listen this weekend. We hope that you'll be back again next weekend. If you like what you're hearing, please give us a like where you get your podcasts. And if you don't mind sharing as well, that would be fantastic. Thanks to all. Have a great weekend and peace to you all.